This is Bros and Arrows, uncut, unedited, and unsponsored. Let's get on with it.
So we are ready, and we are recording. So why don't we start this off by letting everybody know who you are and, you know, give me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm Brent Hahn with Valkyrie Archery. I started the company, and it kind of evolved into a company. It actually wasn't a company, but we build is a broadhead delivery system, moderate weight, high FOC, kind of a combination between speed and power, broadhead delivery system. We build the broadheads all the way from tip to tail in the aero system to support it with micro diameter shafting.
So, all right, so you pretty much have the entire gamut covered when it comes to arrows and the accessories that go on them, like from fletching to field points to broadheads to pretty much any component you need for that arrow.
For building, we'd like to call it like the ultimate broadhead delivery system. Years ago, I designed a broadhead and had trouble testing it with store-bought components. So we had to start making components just to test the strength of the broadhead. And anyway, it evolved from there. I mean, it just snowballed from there. And I was doing it mainly for myself.
What brought you to the point where you decided to make your own broadhead?
Failure. Failure on animals. Several, like the first five bulls, I mean, you guys don't like to talk about it, but I mean, when I'm out here on the west and the first five elk I shot, I hit in the front shoulder, zero penetration, arrow falls out, total heartbreak. I mean, and a couple of them were my fault pulling the shot a little bit, but a couple of them were the animal had turned into the shot, hitting them in the shoulder. You hear the loud, and a lot of guys know the sound. It's a large crack sound. And your arrow doesn't go in, they run off, and they end up being, the ones that I know of, all that I've shot, have all been okay. I've actually either called them in the next day or the next year on a handful of them, so.
That was shooting, now you're a trad guy, so was that shooting a traditional setup?
I shot compound years ago. And then I started shooting trad, but that most of that was trad bow stuff.
Okay, but so you're shooting compounds. Okay, so you hit failure on bulls with a trad setup with what I'm guessing. I mean, you're not an you're not like a weekend warrior, so you were probably even shooting some better quality components, or were you shooting just run of the mill stuff?
Oh, decent stuff. And using steel sleeve, you know, trying to increase the weight up front because that Ashby stuff influenced me from years ago. You know, the Ashby did those studies in like the 80s.
They've
been around a long time. And I would look at those, you know, and back then in the 80s, early 90s, you really couldn't buy anything in the store that, to build the heads he's talking about and the systems you couldn't do. I mean, it was really tough.
Yeah. And so the components weren't available to even get it together to meet his philosophies.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult to do. And, but I would dabble in it and try to increase my weight up, you know, head weight and try to get the arrow weights up with the carbon, we used aluminum in the beginning and then it was carbon. And, back then the carbon wasn't very good either, but
it's come a long ways.
It's come a long ways. And now, so I tell guys all the time, cause our center pin system, we'll get to that, but most of the carbon in the industry is pretty dang good now, so it's come a long ways.
There is, but I think there's still some people are misinformed about the quality of certain shafts. I'm here.
That's one of the things that's refreshing that I wanted to do with our company. I didn't plan on having an archery company. I just built this stuff for me, and then it evolved where guys wanted some, then more guys wanted some, and I'm like, you know what? After we got to the micro diameter and I developed the center pin system, I figured, you know, there's got to be other guys trying to build what I'm trying to build here. Just frustrating because you couldn't get it with what was available in the marketplace. But the one thing,
well, let's cut to the chase. Let's just get, because you've already said your center pin system. Let's go right into what you found to be the ultimate broadhead delivery system. And me and you have talked at length for numerous times, and I know that you firmly stand behind your product, and you are you hunt with it. So you built the best arrow for hunting, and if there was something better, you would be building and or experimenting with it using it.
Yeah, yes. That's what I tell guys all the time. Because we're getting a little push to get a two blade, and I shot two blade for years, and if two blade was better, we would build it. That's what I'm sure. But there's things. A lot of guys want to have their own personal preference for things, and that's fine. But our goal is to build the ultimate broadhead delivery system, where we have the ultimate broadhead with the ultimate arrow behind it to back it up, for it to optimize its performance and accuracy and penetration in hunting condition. And that's been our goal from the beginning. That was my goal 30 years ago when I was trying to manipulate store-bought products. I mean, I've been modifying store-bought stuff for years and years and years.
And which is that's always where innovation comes from. It comes from tinkerers like you.
Oh, there's tons of guys that do it. I'm like, because I was like, there has to be guys. And come to find out, there's a bunch of guys out there that were having the same frustrations that I was having. Because, you mentioned misinformation in the archery industry. And it is, my company will save guys time and money because I spent thousands and thousands of dollars reading everything I could, reading all the magazines, buying all the latest and greatest arrows and broadheads. Retail. I wasn't in I was just a bow hunter. But I had the time and the money to do it with the jobs I had in the past. And I would just test everything. I learned to test everything myself. And, that's when we come up with our, the weight forward thing, the broadhead design. We listened a lot to Ashby. So we take in information from everywhere, and then I test it in real life situations myself. Because I learned a long time ago, you can't really, there's a lot of BS out there, and guys get away with it. I don't know how it's possible, but it's true, and everyone in archery knows it because they've been, they've been tricked a bunch of times.
Yeah, and quite honestly, there's most products that I buy from a brick and mortar, I will bring home and then modify.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Oh, I did that for years.
Yeah, and I do it with almost all my equipment. Obviously, short of your system, I there's nothing that needs done to it, which is awesome for me because it saves me a ton of frustration of putting together a ton of different components from different companies and trying to get them to fit and finding out if OD and ID match up and then to get it to actually spin true and be true and actually be square and then to fly. This system, you've done all that work and you have put together a package that an archer can call you, which is what I did the first time we talked. I called you and we talked at length about the setup and what I was shooting and what I was looking to get out of my bow and what I wanted and why I was even calling you, which was really cool. When I called you the first time, you're like, why? Well, like, what brings you to this point? And it was very simple. I shot a simple whitetail doe, and I smacked her right in the shoulder, and it was the loud, as you said, that crack. It sounded like a little .22 going off when I hit her. And no penetration, and she lived to see another day, and she'll be fine. But it's still just such a sinking feeling to shoot at a game animal and not have your equipment perform after all the hours and time you put in to have it all blow up in your face when it's go time, it's shot time.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that's kind of one of the things where out here in Oregon, you get like one tag for deer, one tag for elk, and your whole season, you might get one shot. You might not. But if you get one shot, and that's what happened with me, you get your one shot per season that you trained all year for. You know, and you've done all your research, your training, you know, physically and bow shooting and tuning your bow. And, you know, I shoot all year round. Get that one shot finally after weeks of, you know, of season, and to have it, your gear fail you on, you know, you didn't even miss by that far. You only missed by a couple inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the, you know,
or something happens that you, it's hunting. Anything. It's not like target that. Shooting.
Yeah. It's not, and something happens and you don't hit them just right or whatever, the animal wheels or whatever, and you don't get them. It's devastating. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
So I was always looking for ways, and that's, you know, our stuff is a culmination of probably closer more than 30 years, but of trial and error, educated trial and error. Because, you know, I used to gobble up magazines, like as soon as they come out, I'd read them cover to cover.
Well, and I'm assuming as you are building these or modifying and working with this stuff, it's not like you build one idea and scratch it. You're that's in the back of your mind, or that's in your notes, and building off of that so that you don't go down that rabbit hole.
Everything that, you know, we just put it in the memory bank. I'll give you an example. So years ago, it's probably closer to 15 years ago now, I got on the weight forward thing, you know, from Ashby, and I was talking to some other guys. And all I did was increase my head weight, left my same fletching, you know, because big, like most guys, like three blazers or whatever, you know. And so I left the fletching, just gobbed up the weight up front, tuned the bow, it was tuned good. But after like mid-range, the arrow dropped like a rock. So, and I ended up missing a giant bull. I had a special, like, once-in-a-lifetime tag here in Oregon. It's called the Wanaha. I actually drew that tag out of the blue, and had this big 350 bull come in 35 yards, and my arrow dropped under it. Like, it was going perfect, and then it just dropped off the table, and I missed that bull. And I said, that's it, I'm done. That was in 2004. So it was about 15 years ago.
That was shooting a heavy, an arrow with beefed up front weight, but still a standard arrow weight,
standard fletching. I didn't change anything except load up the front. And I said, that this high FOC stuff is BS. Arrows drop too much. I'm out. So I went back to lighter, standard stuff, pretty much, you know, heavy grains per inch arrow. You know, big fletching, what I call big fletching, normal fletching for most guys, and, you know, moderate weight head. And then after a few years, you know, I kind of researched the Ashby stuff and went back through the high FOC stuff. And then I actually, Alaska bow hunting, I talked with Garrett over there, and he's talking about minimizing your fletching. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, and, but I'm always testing all year round. I shoot year round. And so I started dropping the fletching, increasing head weight. And the funny thing was, when I reduced my fletching, increased my head weight, I could actually increase my arrow weight, increase my FOC, and my arrows wouldn't drop. And I was like, then I came to the realization that fletching can create a huge drag, even a little bit more, can totally affect your arrow flight. Once you get out past, like, for compound, it's about 40, 45 yards. And trad stuff, it's like 25 or 30 yards.
Well, wouldn't that also, like, wouldn't the fletching be fighting the, because, like, with FOC, your head is pulling your arrow. So yep. with big old fletching, wouldn't the two be, like, kind of fighting each other for dominance of flight control, too?
No, the bigger fletching will help control, but it's more like throwing a parachute on the back end. Like, you got a dragster. I mean, the dragsters throw out parachutes to stop it. And when you run giant, because believe me, I ran like 5.5-inch high back feathers on my track.
That'll slow, That'll slow shit down.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got about 25 yards and you're toast after that, you know, so.
It was just giving that heavy weight up front the opportunity to fall out.
Yeah, well, it slows your arrow down.
Yeah, it slows your arrow down.
As soon as it slows your arrows down that much, the head turns down and you're sunk. As soon as it starts going down, you're toast.
That makes perfect sense.
And the reason this is another reason why I had to test everything myself, because I started realizing that when I was reading and from all these so-called experts, was just a lot of people are just repeating what old wives' tales, and like, you know, you shouldn't ever change your setup during season, things like that. Was like, well, if it makes you better, why wouldn't you? You know, and so I get that a lot of times, like, well, you know, it's so close to season, I don't want to change my setup. And I'm like, well, this will allow you to shoot tighter groups more accurately with a deadlier arrow.
I switched right at the last minute this year, and I'm so glad I did.
Oh, and I switch during season sometimes, because all of a sudden I'll be like, you know, my stuff's not shoot quite right, or, you know, something, and I'll change it up a little bit. It shoots a little better. If it shoots better and I'm more accurate, why not change?
But exactly, because if your shot form is solid, you will easily transition between setups. That's just easy. It's if your shot form's there.
Yeah. And so I was kind of losing my train on that. But so going back to the weight forward thing and the Ashby stuff. So when I bailed on it, that was in 2000. I know it was 2004. That's when I had that tag. And I went back to the moderate weight stuff, moderate FOC. And then about a few years later, you know, I'm always looking to improve. Then I started going back to the shorter fletchy, and then I keep increasing weight. And I noticed that my group, then I started building designing the broadhead, actually, because I was just frustrated. I wanted three blades. We did the two blade thing, single bevel, for a long time, and it works. But man, we had some good hits where we had some marginal blood trails and tough finds or losses on animals. And I'm like, yeah. If you could get a three blade with two blade penetration, that'd be the ultimate. I always thought, like, if with a two blade, single plane, you could be right next to an artery or right next to the heart and miss it.
Yep.
You know, and I mean,
literally.
Right next to it. Yeah.
Yep, literally.
But if you had three blades, if you get within, I mean, you're getting it.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you got that. You got the angles.
Yeah.
The blades are angled.
Yeah. So, anyway. With this head, we almost came out with a single bevel two blade similar to the cutthroat broadhead. It all had to be one piece. I didn't want any parts, you know. I wanted zero, you know, and that's one of the things with our stuff. The least amount of parts possible in the setup. Because at one point it's funny, I was hunting with the late Jason Harrison from QU. We were hunting hogs down in California. And this is quite a few years ago. I think it might have been during when he was with Sitka. And I shot this hog with the, you know, I was into it. So I had like my full Ashby thing going, you know, I can still remember I had gold tip traditional shafts, which are super heavy. I had inserts in the front with the little piece of all thread with three weights up in there. Three of the 20 grain brass weights. I had a knock adapter in the back end and I was tuning the back. That's when the Black Widow guys from Ken Beck were talking about you had to tune your arrow with putting weights in the back of your arrow. So I had weights in the back of that thing with grain weights. Oh my God. So, and then I was shooting a $40 or $30 broadhead. Or no, it was actually almost a $40 broadhead, one of the Grizzly Stick Nanooks. And those guys, Jason's running around the bottom and run these pigs by me. And I shoot one a little too far forward. And I get a pass through and everything, but it doesn't go all the way through because I hit him up in the front shoulders. Anyway, it was like to the fletch. Pig runs off and Jason comes up. We watch that pig run down. But I didn't know, you were close to the front of the lungs, but I wasn't sure if we got him or not. So we watched him run down the mountain. up across the valley and up the other side about 2 miles away, straight up and over the next ridge. And we're sitting there, and Jason goes, well, there goes about $75 worth of arrow. Like, God dang it, I didn't even think of that, you know. And it was,
yeah, thanks, man.
I know, I was like, how do you think of that? God, we gotta go. But and that was pretty neat. But here's the thing, I had like 12 parts built into that arrow. I had 12
pieces.
That's
a lot. That's
arrow.
A lot of pieces to get the, work together.
And so this is one of the things where I started, when I designed this, it had to be, we build parts you don't need to add stuff to. Like, you don't need to hide weights inside your tubing, your shaft, because your gear's not heavy enough to work how it's built. You know, my thought is, why would you add brass weights inside your shaft if you could actually buy a head that has enough steel and strength in it that weighs what that brass weighs?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
If we add weight to our system, it's to improve strength and lethality.
And eliminate headache at the same time, because the more parts you have, the more tuning required.
Oh, yeah.
And it really, like, for your everyday guy, to put, like you said, 10, even 5 or 6 parts into an arrow and get them all to work in harmony with each other and tune out perfect. And then have to do that with every arrow that you want to shoot. That's a lot of work for the average guy that's juggling work, kids, or whatever.
I'll tell you, Joe, I used to do that. Oh my God, I spent tons of hours and hours and hours doing that same exact thing.
And then stealing more time from other things you don't need to.
Even in my free time, I'd rather shoot my bow. You know, I got to the point where I was always messing with arrows. Even to this day, it's kind of the same. Like, every time I want to go do something, I'm like, I have like, you know, thousands of arrows, but I'm like, God, I don't have anything to shoot.
that's the nature of the beast for you now. It's going to become the reality.
But the thing is that I was like, this is when I had the epiphany that I need to make my own stuff. I can remember the day I was in my garage. I was running Gold Tip Hunters, trying to build, you know, lightweight weight forward setup, and they were pretty good arrow, but I wanted it strong. I needed structural integrity because we shoot a lot of elk out here, and I don't want my arrow failing on impact. And so I just got done. I was actually taking 2 of their inserts, you know, their standard gold tip insert, screwing them together with a little chunk of all thread, and I was grinding off the back collar so it could slide down in the shaft so I'd have a double long insert.
Yeah.
And check this out. So I grind that, I get done grinding that off and tuning it, and it doesn't go in quite straight. So I'm just, you know, shaping it and sanding it and getting it so it goes in and fits flush and true. I finally get one done. It's all glued up. I'm like, there's one. And I look, and it took me a half an hour. I'm like, I have to do 11 more. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And I sat there and said, you know what? I'm done. I can't keep doing this because I've already spent like the last 20 years of my life doing this stuff.
The inserts that broke the camel's back, eh?
Oh, and I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm designing one of these things for myself, and I designed an insert that was like 2.5 times as long, and I built it with good aluminum, like the 70-75, not the most of the inserts you get are like the cheapest, softest aluminum you can buy because it's cheaper to mill.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I couldn't even get the main manufacturers that make a lot of the inserts in the United States for archery. Wouldn't even quote me a price doing the 70-75 aluminum because he'd have to retool all his equipment. Wouldn't quote me. I'm like, well, just, you know, just give me an idea of like if we did do it. He goes, I'm not doing it. He goes, I'd have to retool with carbide bits all of my equipment because it's too hard. And I'm like, well, yeah, but he's like, no, I'm not doing it. And so it was really tough. So I had to find a local guy for outrageous money. And so I built the inserts. And then it's funny because a year later, Gold Tip came out with some deeper ones, longer, you know, just standard inserts that were like 2.5 inches long. But they worked great with the little sleeve on the outside. I designed a little sleeve on the outside. It worked great. I'm like, now I have parts that I don't need to mess with anything. I can just plug them in and play. I mean, it was perfect.
Which is the goal of every art. Like, who wants to just be building components all the damn time. You want
to, you shouldn't have to make components. I mean, that's why I was like, why doesn't somebody make what we need? And I know there's a ton of guys out there that are thinking the same thing. I mean, after a while, it's neat to fiddle faddle, but after a while, I mean, geez Louise, I just got fed up because I'm like, you know, I started having kids and stuff, and I'm like, I don't have time for this anymore. I mean, if I get my free time, I get my little 15 minutes right before dark. I'd rather be shooting my bow.
Yeah, exactly.
So I designed that. So we started with the 5/16 shaft, and we had it used to be called the Green Meanie broadhead. It's pretty much the Jagger broadhead, that three blade with the swept long skinny nose with the shoulder out on the, you know, we drop point the tip.
Yeah.
And that's why we built those components, because we were trying to test that broadhead into steel plates and stuff, but all the arrows were breaking. breaking and bending at the ferrule, so we couldn't really get a true read on how strong the broadhead was. And so that's why we were building all these components, through, you know, the deeper, longer footed shafts and things like that. So we thought I was thinking more guys want to do that, and I almost brought that stuff to market. And then on a whim, I bought some VAP arrows, some Victory VAPs, the super skinnies.
Yeah.
Micro diameter arrows, and I built a setup in a weight forward configuration and shot it. The very first arrow I shot, I went, holy cow.
Pay
this
dirt.
Thing is, it's unbelievable. And I couldn't believe my groups and everything. I mean, they're just, the micro diameter was flying so good. And there's so many advantages to low shaft area in the crosswinds and penetration in animals.
Coupled with the heavy head.
With the heavy head, it's unbeatable.
It just makes it deadly.
And I'm like, this is the platform. But here's the thing. So I'm shooting. This is a long time ago. Like, Victory had their first Inny-Outies on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Made with the cheap aluminum. I'm shooting, and my groups are just money. I mean, so tight. I'm like, this stuff is amazing. Well, I couldn't stop shooting. So after a little while, all of a sudden my groups start growing. And there's thousands of guys out there that can vouch for this. My groups start growing, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I couldn't understand. I go, well, I must be getting tired, whatever. You know, I'll just try again tomorrow. But I get back in the shop, and I just want to see how straight the arrows are. I put them on the spinner, and the heads are flopping around on the end. They're all bent. And I'm like, they bent and foam. So I was like, I was crushed.
Yeah.
Like a couple times doing that, I'm like, I can't hunt with this. It's not strong enough. It's bending and foam. What's that going to do if it glances off a bone? It's going to fold your stuff up sideways, and you're not going in. And I'm like, oh my God. But I knew from the flight characteristics and the group size, the accuracy.
The blueprint was there. The blueprint.
Oh my God.
I'm
like, this is the platform to deliver our broadhead. I had to figure out a way. And I even bought the stainless ones, and it was kind of the same thing. I was buying everything retail, and I was spending hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, I was paying $3 a piece wholesale for the stainless Inny-Outies. And just going through them, as soon as they bend, I mean, you could try to straighten them, but you can't hunt with that. I mean, if you have a plate broadhead on there, it's not going to go straight. And anyway, I'm like, I have to do, I got to figure out a way to run these micro diameter arrows. It's the best delivery platform for hunting, period. With the weight forward system. And that's when I came up. It took me about a week of just sitting there staring at it and going, I need this head on this arrow. What can we do? And then I came up with the center pin system, and I was like, well, someone probably has it. And I figured Easton would have it, just to have the patent. And not bring it out, you know, kind of like the card industry does. They always have
the ace up the sleeve.
If they just bleed it out here. And unbelievable, nobody had it. And I got my patent in less than a year. It was amazing. And I was like, I can't believe no one's doing this. Oh, I know, it was crazy. I thought the patent lawyer was joking when he told me it was okay. And
Because it normally is the opposite, like. You're always sitting there going, why didn't I think of that? Or, you know, why didn't
honestly,
I come out
Joe,
with that? Or
I couldn't believe no one had it. I mean, there's some other stuff guys are doing out there, but there's flaws in every single one of them. This thing is so, everything about it, it all works together. I'm like, this is, it's absolutely perfection as for the micro diameter. I'm like, I can't believe that nobody's done this before.
Yeah, that's strange.
When you look at how, and most guys don't know what it is, but they can look it up online. We have videos on Instagram on how the center pin slides down inside the shaft and screws in. You know, I didn't want any glue on stuff. I mean, nobody wants to do that anymore. And screws in, and it's simple. The center pin, you have a sleeve we glue on to the shaft, just like you glue in an insert. You glue a sleeve on the outside of the shaft. It goes over the end of the shaft so that you're never going to get any mushrooming or stuff like that. And then the head's one piece head that just slides down inside the shaft past the end of the sleeve. It's actually got a rubber bushing on the end of it for cushion on the inside of the shaft, and also to help so your heads don't vibrate loose. Another huge, I lost an animal because of that head vibrating loose in after like an 8-hour stalk on a mule deer in Nevada. I missed by 3 feet at 30 yards. My head was rattling all the way to the deer. But and so we built that into the center pin system. So your head, you know, we have the anti-vibration dampeners in there so that your head, once you screw it on, it should never really vibrate loose.
Well, I will say that, like, every arrow, I mean, I'm neurotic and I spin every arrow, and I know they're coming from you true, and I know they're coming spun, and I spin them, and they spin smooth as silk. It's incredible. And yeah, that, and even you can shoot, beat the crap out of the arrows, shoot the crap out of them, throw them on the spinner, and they're still spinning like silk. So, I mean, you got it right.
The center, yeah, this end is so, and it's simple. It's, you got a sleeve and a head. That's it. There's no other parts you need. And we make heads heavy enough. You don't need to add weights to the inside. You know, if you want to go even heavier, we have stainless sleeves or aluminum sleeves. It doesn't, sleeves are a little stronger, but it's not, we build our products for zero failure on impact with game animals. And that's where we stop it. Because you can build deeper penetrating, maybe a little bit higher performing stuff, but you also have to have structural integrity. That's part of the equation for, you know, a lethal arrow.
And you see those broadhead tests all the time. Like they're like shooting through all this crazy shit. And I'm like, I don't care about that. I just want to kill game and not have my arrow fail while I'm killing game. That's all I need to do.
Well, our testing was done on bone, like moo cow bone and green bone. And we built the strength up in our system for zero failure on impact with green bone on game.
Yeah.
So that it's guaranteed 100%. You shoot an animal with a decent flying arrow, your arrow is not going to bend or break, or that even the tip is not going to bend or break on our broadhead on an animal.
But that's what you need.
That's what I want. I want the most lethal setup I can have. We can make deeper penetrating stuff or, you know, sharper tips, but if the tip bends over, you're screwed.
Yep.
So we have a drop point on that tip. A lot of guys like start looking at that tip going, I don't know, it might bend. Tip's not going to bend. We built that. We shaped that tip. If you look closely, that tip is not just a needle. It's kind of a needle point, but it has shoulders on it. We drop point it like a pocket knife to put a little bit of shoulder on the end of that tip.
Oh, they're stout.
And the short jags are even tougher.
That's what I'm shooting, that 180 grain jag. It's stout as shit.
Yeah, it's tough broadhead. So, but, you know, we want simple, tough, structurally strong, and true. And that's what we make. And so that's what I was saying. And we have the test kit. The best thing about it is most guys have never shot heads. Like, our lightest head's 160 grains.
Yeah, talk about that a little. Tell me more about the test kit, and I'll ask that like I'm dumb, but let's do it.
No, well, here's the thing. So I've taken out all the guesswork for guys. So we build arrows that are weight forward to where anything under about 18-19% is just how I figured out a way to describe it to guys to make more. I mean, there's physics involved in all this stuff, but we build arrows where the head is pulling the shaft as it's traveling. When you run a lower FOC arrow with a lighter weight head, you have the and a lot of guys are running, you know, heavier arrows are great. I mean, the heavier the better. I mean, there's no substitute for arrow mass. But when you run like a super heavy arrow with a lightweight head, two things happen. One is you, a lightweight, any head under about, it's really tough to build a strong, structurally strong broadhead under about 150 grains. Closer to 170, 150 grains right in there. You just can't get enough steel in there with the cutting diameter stuff to, you know, make it zero failure on impact with a game animal. I mean, it's
it makes sense.
You just can't. I mean, I if I could, I would. You know, I mean, our lightest.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the materials available and the cost of those materials, like feasibility.
But I mean, you need. I mean, you have to have a certain amount of steel in there to keep that broadhead straight from bending and all that stuff.
And to keep it together,
It's decent, it's not too bad. So we build arrows, and that's what we were building for structural integrity at the beginning. And then when we were loading up the front end of our arrows with the higher FOC, we started noticing the groups tightening. And so... anyway, so it kind of all went together. The structural integrity FOC went together. As long as you, I got off track. So if you're running a high grains per inch arrow, like a full metal jacket, just say tons of guys shoot that with a 100 grain head. So you're looking at a 450 grain arrow for most guys shooting a 70 pound bow. So they think they got the arrow
cookie cutter.
Out. Yeah. So everyone's shooting this. Not everyone, but most guys think that because they're going big game hunting, they're going elk hunting. That's a typical elk setup. Full metal jacket. 100 grain broadhead. So 100 grain broadhead, I would never hunt an elk with a 100 grain broadhead, but that's just me. But your arrow shaft, when you shoot, your arrow's got to be perfectly tuned with a fixed blade broadhead. That fixed blade broadhead, your arrow has to be perfectly tuned. Your arrows have to be straight, squared on both ends. You're going to shoot tight groups, and your form has to be impeccable. Because that
there's no margin of error.
No, and that's what makes a lot of these pro shops and stuff money, because you have to micro-tune and micromanage every little part of your setup.
It's miserable.
It's an unstable platform. It's unstable. That arrow is pushing. It has wings on the front of it and wings on the back. And the arrow is trying to push that broadhead. Any little bump on that broadhead, wind drift.
Yeah.
Teeny branch, blade of grass. Anything like that that's going to bump that head over a little bit, that arrow starts traveling in a different direction.
And then it's gone.
The staff is pushing it in a different direction. Right. With the head is pulling the arrow, the head may get bumped off course. You torque the bow a little bit. The head may get moved off course a half inch or an inch, but the head maintains its direction. It's still going towards its intended target, pulling the shaft along with it. And that's when we build arrows. That's the threshold we try to meet. So that's why our head weights are what they are, you know, with the sleeves. That's why we use the shafts we use, because they're the lightest, stiffest shafts we could get in micro diameter and still structurally strong.
And with the Valkyrie system, it allows for margin of error, or like it allows for imperfections here. And it's forgiving.
It's forgiving and stable.
And that's hunting. And it really, when you're doing everything right, it's ridiculously accurate to the point you can't shoot the same spot. It allows the forgiving.
I tell guys all the time, chef, with these arrows, if you do everything the same and shoot the same and have your form the same, that the next arrow you shoot will hit the other arrow.
Oh yeah, I was smashing my bear shaft into bear shaft, and it was horrible.
You can't shoot the same spot. I tell guys all the time, you can't shoot the same spot because you're going to ruin. It's going to cost you a lot, and our stuff's pretty expensive, so it's going to cost you lots of money. I highly recommend a 6-dot target.
Well, I'll clarify too. There, I was using my ETX. I couldn't do that with my new stick bow. But I was literally shooting. So I started shooting the bear shaft and then I would shoot a fletched, and I would hit it. So I'm like, I'll shoot the fletch first. There's no way I'll hit it with the bear. Then I'm hitting the fletched arrow with the bear shaft, and I'm like, all right, I got to start shooting two spots. It's crazy. It's crazy. And then when you get in the field, it allows for those where you're not perfectly balanced, where you're shooting a little off balance, where your feet aren't set properly, where your shoulder might be scrunched a little bit to get the shot, to get the clearance for your bow. That's where this it shines in hunting situations. Yeah, you can shoot these arrows and shoot the center out of stuff with them, but then it also allows the forgiveness where you're not perfect, where if you're shooting these cookie cutter setups, shit goes wrong quick.
And they're unstable arrow platforms. So that's what we build with everything when I was designing the arrow system was designed around hunting.
Yep.
You know, outside conditions for accuracy, lethality, but we also had to be forgiving and stable. So, and that's what, and when I started testing the weight forward thing against non-weight forward stuff, because there's not a lot of, Aspie is like the only guy that ever talks about it years ago.
Yeah.
It's starting to catch on a little bit, but when I started experimenting and opening, I revisited the weight forward stuff and I reduced my fletching. You know, you can't just do one, it's the whole system. And I'm sitting there going, I can't believe more guys aren't doing this, but maybe they are, or even target archers, because it's so much more stable and your group size automatically shrinks down. The higher FOC setup.
It does.
And I've tested it with other guys. I've done it myself. I did it a few years ago. Black Eagle finally came out with those Instincts, the wood grain micros, micro diameter arrows that look sweet. But they're, you know, heavy grains per inch. And I was like, well, okay. So I had to reduce my head weight. It's pretty much the weight of the shaft difference. You know, I think they were like 50 or 60 grains heavier. So I had to drop head weight 50 or 60 grains. And anyway, to balance it out, keep my arrow weight the same.
Yeah.
But with the, you know, perfectly tuned arrow. But, and this is with the trad bow at 40 yards, my groups would grow. And I'm like, maybe it's just me. I tried for a month, doing groups of three and four arrows of each, the high FOC and the moderate FOC. And even with the lower FOC, I was still like 18-19%, but my other ones are at 27. Same arrow weight. Groups were 50% tighter with the high FOC. And I was like, you know what? But the wood grain looked awesome, especially with our black sleeves. And with our black sleeves and the Jagger broadhead. Oh my God. It just looks like some medieval lethal killings. I mean, it was pretty awesome. But
so
you know
gonna,
what?
When are you gonna wrap? We gotta get like a wrap or something.
Oh, I know, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go backwards, and I was like, I just can't. It's just going backwards, and then. But I will. There's some guys out there that are talking like they don't see the difference in high FOC and low FOC too much. But if you're shooting good, when you have impeccable form and everything's dialed, and you have a stellar release. And any arrow works good.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no,
when you're not shooting good, or you torque the bow a little bit, or you're hunting and you've been sitting still and it's 30 degrees out, you can't even feel your toes, your hands don't work. That's when you need a stable, forgiving arrow, because you're guaranteed you're gonna screw something up.
and that's where the platform shines. And I was saying a little bit earlier, like these cookie cutter setups with the FMJs and the 100 grain heads, they work when everything is dead on. But throw a little variable in there and shit
goes
bad.
That's just the human variable.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you throw in a 25 mile an hour crosswind and some rain. You're going to blow your arrow off course. Or here's another prime example, another one of the bad things I had happen before I've designed the system. I shot at this bull as a Roosevelt bull here on the coast in Oregon, shooting through huckleberries. He comes up the hill 18 yards. I got a get hole about the size of a basketball through these huckleberries. The only thing in it is his vitals. I'm like, it's golden. It's halfway to the elk. I'm like, I got this. I drive perfect shot right through the center, heading straight for his vitals. There happens to be a little tiny wire-sized branch. Mind you, I'm running like 14, 15% FOC. Okay. Fixed blade. So about three quarters away of the elk, I shoot through the basketball size hole. It glances, deflects off of that little teeny wire. I mean, it wasn't even, it was just a little tiny twig. Like probably about, I don't know, an eighth of an inch. I mean, nothing. Glances, deflects 3 feet. Clear up, nicks him in the top of the neck, and he's gone. And I couldn't even see that branch from like 50. I mean, you couldn't see it.
Yeah, you can't. You can't see that shit.
No, and I was like, if I would have had the arrows we have now, I would have drilled that bull. My arrow, if it probably wouldn't have deflected at all, but if anything, it would have been maybe a half inch. And I tested that for months with broadheads, shooting through Scotch broom and fir boughs and, you know, light branches. You know, I'm not talking about like heavy, like half inch dead branches or anything like that, but little stuff doesn't affect it. Doesn't affect it because the head's pulling it. It might knock it off an inch or two, but it's still pulling towards its intended target. The momentum and energy is still going directly to the to wherever your target is.
Which leads me into my next thing with wind. And that's the same with wind, that with that head pulling the arrow. Yeah, your shaft might be like
the back
tailed,
end of your
tailed,
shaft is going to flag in the wind like crazy.
Yeah, but your head's still going where it's supposed to be. And then when you make impact, the head pulls into, goes into the target and pulls the shaft behind it, just like it was already, and you get the penetration.
Shaft, that head will just yank that thing down, like pulling a freaking piece of spaghetti through a hole.
It'll just
rip it right through there. So that tail's wagging sideways. A lot of guys are like, well, that's going to decrease your penetration. Well, as that tail's wagging sideways, your arrow's actually tacking into the wind, so it's actually pushing it back, keeping it on track. You almost never aim off with a high FOC arrow. And I mean, most guys do. In fact, I talked to one of the guys that won. He won one of the Northwest Mountain Challenge shoots last year here in the Northwest. It's super high wind. They usually have them at ski resorts in the Alpine.
Yeah.
And he said he hit like every target perfect. He won it. He said the only one he missed, there was like a 30 mile an hour crosswind shooting down in this canyon, and he actually aimed off to make up for the wind. I think he aimed like 6 inches off the target, you know, just aimed 6 inches into the wind. He goes, I hit 6 inches into the wind on the target. He says, that's the last time I aimed off that whole thing. He was pretty pumped because I told him, you almost never aim off on animals.
Well, it's funny because my prior cookie cutter setup, which was literally FMJs with a 100 grain head at 80 yards, I could tell you how strong the wind was blowing without a measuring device by just shooting my bow at 80 yards. Yeah. Now I aim right on and I hit right on. There's truth to that. And it's hard for guys to wrap their minds around it. Just you got to shoot it or talk to somebody you trust and get it squared away, because it's a fact.
In fact, that's another one of those things where I was like, I honestly can't believe more guys aren't doing it. But it's just like we were talking earlier about, there's quite a bit of misinformation out there, and or guys that just repeat what they've heard.
And also, depending on who says it, it will be taken as gospel and wrote in stone. And even though it's wrong, guys, your everyday guy who has these people that they respect and look up to, and when they're spewing the misinformation, it then is recorded, like I said, as gospel. And then you got a whole bunch of archers that are misinformed.
I'm talking about and what I test for, and the only thing I really care about, and I haven't looked at anything else for like target archery and that kind of realm. Everything that I've done, all my trial and error research, if you want to call it that, is catered to hunting and being successful. Like when you get one shot, I don't want any gear failure. I want my arrow to fly true. Something, you know, a little bit out of the ordinary happens or the animal spins, I still want to have a lethal shot. And that's
that's kind of what it's all about for me too. It's about hunting. Like, I like shooting 3D and having fun and shooting targets. Yeah. You have to, but it all boils down to like making the kill shot and doing it efficiently and quickly. And
we try not to having build it. And I liken it to a lot of, in fact, I was just talking to a guy yesterday that was a long range rifle guy. And he mentioned he's new to archery, and he's talked about, you know, he likes, you know, high, he mentioned high ballistic coefficient. And I'm like, that's exactly what we build in an arrow. It's like they build long range bullets with a high ballistic coefficient. It means they maintain their energy and lethality down range. They, you know, and that's our arrows. That's exactly what we build.
Same concept.
Yep. And they stay together and they keep their integrity as they're, you know, in the animal. They don't bend or break or blow apart. They just do their job.
But also now with this, and we're starting to get to it. Now we went off on this wild tangent, but because of the heavy FOC, you can throw Easton spine chart out the window. And so, but you combat that problem with these test kits, and talk about your test kits.
Well, test kits are something I always wanted, but nobody really had. There's a few companies out there doing them now. Because if you want to try something, you'd have to buy a dozen arrows.
Yeah, or a half dozen.
You get them, you buy all the stuff. You shoot it, the latest and greatest. You shoot it, it's a pile of crap, you throw it in the garbage. I mean, I did that so many times.
Try to sell it on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. And then you end up with all these arrows, all this wasted money. You know, you had to spend a couple hundred bucks just to check something out.
Yeah. And, been there. I've done it.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I can give a guy a combo right now, an educated guess on what he's looking for. And he's going to have a perfect combo in there somewhere. And
well, you hit,
know exactly what you're going to get before you go and blow, you know, $500 on arrows and stuff.
And so far, you've been spot on, like, with my setups. You pretty much told me what was work. I got the test kit. You told me what was going to work, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because you set up so many of these different rigs and different, you know, different combinations.
There's not really a spine chart for high FOC setups, and a lot of the stuff that happens in tuning with the ultra high FOC or the EFOC is opposite of what we've been taught our whole lives.
Yes.
So, for the trad guys. But compound guys is pretty much a slam dunk, and with our setups, and the Ashby stuff is spot on for what he was doing, but we found just from our customer success, I mean, I knew the stuff was good, but I mean, guys are running, as long as you shoot like a, if you're shooting a 60 to 70 pound bow and your arrow weight's in the mid to upper 400s with 20% FOC, a lot of these guys are shooting elk. I mean, it's blowing through everything. I mean, it's,
well, I mean, I shot a whitetail with the setup this year, and it, the they don't stand a chance against this setup.
You can shoot right in the front shoulder and you're going to get them.
Absolutely. And actually I shot the, and I sent you the pictures and stuff, and it's on the gram too, but I actually shot a coyote through the head, through the skull, and it came out his ass.
Jeez.
And, I mean, it just like that yote, like he didn't even, it just in his tracks just dropped. Like I shot him with a rifle.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things guys think of though, is when you're shooting these arrows, oh my God, your arrow's going to drop like a rock.
But nah, it doesn't.
It's not gonna, well, we make arrows, and we don't ever use the chronograph. We try not to. But our most lethal combinations, we try to get guys running about 270 feet a second, somewhere in there, 280, 260 to 280. Right in that realm right there gives you, with whatever bow you're shooting, the great, unbelievable combo of speed and power. No matter what bow you're shooting.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm shooting as far as feet per second, but I can. I know my rig is dialed in. It's incredible.
Yeah, but with that speed, most guys, it's not too slow. It's not super fast, but most guys can get 80 to 100 yards on their tape or their sight pins without changing their anchor point or anything.
Yeah, so, yeah, my tape didn't. I can still reach out to 100 yards with my setup. So yeah, you're right on about that.
Yeah.
Now, what? So, you design your own broadheads. You design like the you got your own you're manufacturing your own broadhead, your own field points, the stumper thumpers. But obviously you're not manufacturing arrows, you're not manufacturing vanes. So you obviously have found a quality component that works. And now you had said you were originally using the Victory vapes, and you're not using them anymore.
Our stuff works. Our center pin system works with all modern micro diameter shafting. So all the stuff with the inside diameter of 165 to 167, even like the injections. It'll work with that up to the outside diameter of about a quarter inch.
If perfect. So people can buy your components and build their own arrows.
Yeah, if you've got gold tip pierce, you could buy center pin components for it.
Perfect. But you also have the option for the rain arrows, which are which you build the entire system in house, and you're sending guys arrows that are balanced, spin, and are ready to shoot out of their setup.
We have anything you want to do, we build the full system, or you just can buy arrows, you screw in the heads and shoot, or you could buy all the parts and build your own. Or if you want to, if you already have shaft, if you have some VAPs, Victory VAPs or VAP TKO, you can use gold tips, but the Black Eagles in all their sizes, the X impacts, deep impacts, which are, if you're going to run weight forward, it's hard to get a weight forward arrow with the deep impact without being totally overweight. But all the micro diameter stuff, Element Storms, we use some of those.
But once again, putting your system on like the FMJs it's going to make it overweight.
You can only use them on the 4mm. You can't use our center pin system on anything that uses the 0.204 hidden insert. The X knock size is too big for our system. We use the G knock size,
which is good info because there's a lot of people that have arrows that might not be ready to take the full jump, but might order some components, which is it's a great option.
Yeah, you can find cheaper micro diameter arrows out there. Just I think Bloodsport has some. You can get the gold tip pierce with the 0.003 size. They're not quite as straight.
Yeah, I was gonna say the arrows that you're delivering to people, or the straightness is 0.001, and it's actually a tried and tested straightness.
It's good, but here's the thing: we do that because we just like to shoot the best. We have the best possible setup you could have, in my opinion.
Correct.
But as far as straightness goes, and it's not going to sell worth being. But if you build an arrow that's like 19-20% plus FOC, and the ends are square, and the shaft's spinning through, and your broadhead is spinning through in line with the shaft, any of the straightnesses will work. And you won't be able to shoot the difference, even with a fixed blade broadhead, if you're running the high FOC stuff.
Because the head is pulling the shaft.
If the head is pointed at the bullseye when you let go, release, it's going where it's pointed, even if your shaft is a 0.006. And I've blind
tested because the shaft isn't driving it. Shaft's not driving the head.
Joe, I've blind tested this with great shots that they didn't know. They thought they were shooting like the Elite Series, hitting the center of the X with broadheads at distance, thinking that the setup is money. And I'm like, it is money. But they're 0.006 arrows. But no, this is another, what I was talking about being a stable platform for your arrows. The weight forward system with the micro diameter is the most stable, forgiving broadhead delivery platform, period. As long as you have the structural integrity up front, which the center pin delivers in the simplest, the most effective form, I sound like a salesman or anything, but I don't. I'm a terrible salesman. I tell guys all the time, I'm not a good salesman. I just make stuff where I don't have to sell it. It sells itself.
It works. So why on your rain arrows? I mean, obviously they're a bomber arrow and they're straight. Why are you running the four fletch? Like, you're running four fletch with turb tape and.
Yeah,
like kind of explain the back end of the arrow.
So the back, because we build you know, obviously we're always looking for ways to improve our setups. And, you know, we know that the weight forward platform works great. Micro diameter works great. Low resistance. You know, we've tried to take out the resistance and drag from the broadhead through the components in the front, the arrow, and then all the way back to the fletching. We're trying to reduce drag, maintain control, and we want to reduce drag and weight. We especially want to reduce weight in the back of the arrow because that's the, it's way easier to gain FOC or weight forward by removing weight in the in your arrow and in the back than it is to add weight to the front. So
yeah.
So we're looking to reduce fletching. Like a common setup for most guys is 3 or 4 AAE Max Stealth vanes. Those vanes weigh 9 grains each. Those guys out there with a wrap at 7 to 10 grains, they're gobbing like 50 grains of stuff on the back of their arrow.
Yep.
Destroying FOC. Destroying it. To make up for that, you'd have to add like 150 to 200 grains up front. Just to keep your FOC.
Yeah, because I think the four fletch, when I remove them for bear shaft, I have to add 18 grains of tape just to keep. It's only 18 grains.
Yeah, it's about 18. Well, it depends on what color. So, you know, those aren't the most accurate vanes. We're using the AAE Pro Max right now, but they vary. Depends on what color you get. But anyway, they're about right around 20 grains, between 18 and 20, 21, 22 grains for four of them, which is the lightest. It's one of the lightest vanes overall weight and still can control our largest broadhead.
Yeah, they're nice and stiff, and they got those, you can, if you hold them up to the light, you can see the stiffeners go through them.
Yeah, they have ribs in them, but the thing is that, you know, that's one of the things we're looking at right now is, you know, the front end's pretty much dialed. We have some new heads coming out. We have 150 grain regular screw in short jag. They're called the Blood Eagles coming out for this year.
And that's for guys that want to put them in their standard, the components are already
running. Yeah, if he's just running full metal jackets and he wants to up his FOC a little bit and shoot like one of the best 3-blade broadheads on the market.
And they're not going to be for the micros. They're not going to be for micros. They're going to be for standard threads, right?
That's for standard threads. And then, so the Blood Eagles are jagger broadheads with standard threads for regular standard screw-in arrows. So that's all the difference is. So then all the jaggers and the short jags have the center pin built into them where they slide down inside our center pin sleeve and screw on.
Yeah.
So, but same shape, same broadhead profile, same steel for the most part, just in a regular version.
Yeah. So no, you won't have anything yet plug and play for the guys running the deep six or the hidden inserts.
Hidden insert. Yeah, you can screw it into regular hidden insert with regular threads. Deep six is something we don't believe in.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
that's one of those things that
clear it up because guys get confused about that in the deep six.
Deep six is something that came out years ago that was. I don't like talking negative about stuff, but I don't.
Well, let's just leave it alone and move on.
Yeah, it's not cool, but we don't make any deep six stuff.
Okay, there it is. Fair enough.
We do make products for standard components and center pin system. And a lot of our center pin sleeves will fit on the injection shafts. And it makes for, they're kind of a heavy grains per inch arrow as far as the FOC building goes. But they do make, if you put our center pin system on an injection type arrow or a 4mm FMJ, your front end is pretty much indestructible. So
yeah.
Which is a big change from the standard setup.
So. But yeah, and that's it's money. So Genox is the tail end.
Okay, so in the back of the arrow, so we go. First things guys can do, we're trying to look at, you know, we talked about the fletching. We use 4-fletch for 2 reasons, 3 reasons. You know, the lightweight control, lightest weight to control that we can get. You know, the control to weight ratio is really good. Lightweight, good control. less drag, lower profile, less drag. Also, the four-fletch we like for hunting, because if you have to reload, that's one of the beauties of our system, too. Like, if you have to get a second shot, you don't have to sit there and try to index your arrow. Same thing with our broadheads. You don't have to index the broadheads if you build a full Valkyrie system. Whichever way they're facing, it doesn't matter. They'll all hit the same. So that's like, a, you know, can't you, I mean, guys, even the AL guys will still index their broadheads, and there's a way you can face this. It also gives you, with the four fletch, it gives you different when you're knock tuning. If you're spinning your knock to make sure your broadheads are hitting all the same spot, if you have to, you know, it gives you four different, gives you more options.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as rotating your knock around or your, or indexing your broadhead, if you like to have them all the same, it gets you a lot closer without doing anything.
I haven't noticed any, I haven't indexed anything. And now I'm neurotic. So I like to have my knocks indexed so that the fletchings are aligned up a certain way. But that's all I've ever done.
Yeah. So some guys will turn their knocks if their broadheads aren't hitting where they think they should. You can tune the knock a little bit. And sometimes if guys' bows aren't tuned like totally pure, you'd have to do a little knock tuning.
With the fixed plate broadhead.
But you shouldn't really have to. But it gives you that option. And so that's why we run the four fletch for that. And the fact that you can reload without really wasting time trying to index your vanes to the up or down or sideways or whatever.
Yeah. You just got to make sure you don't hit your string with the broadhead. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. No kidding. And, then we use we're changing everything over to as far as the Deep Six though, the Deep Six G knock is an awesome knock. And that's what
it's probably the best knock out there right now.
Absolutely. Right now, it is the best knock on the market for G-size, for hunting and what we do.
And you also sell, you sell the fire knock as the lighted knock option. And how similar flight characteristics are you seeing with the, from the G-knock to the fire knock? If guys don't want to be shooting the fire knocks as practice,
G knocks or the fire knocks add about 17 grains and to the back end of your arrow. And the nice thing about the going with the Deep Six G knock is the throat is about almost the same distance as the fire knock G.
Yeah, it is very
from
similar.
The back of the carbon, so you don't have to change your airline. When we were using the standard G-knock, you know, there's like a 3/16 or so from the back of the carbon to the throat. But then when you went to the fire knock, it's like, you know, an eighth of an inch. It's a lot shorter.
Yep.
So it was shortening the length of your arrow, and if guys are pushing the envelope with short arrows, then all of a sudden your sleeve's hitting up on your rest at full draw.
Yeah, no good. That's bad juju.
Yeah, that's the, you can't have that. So, but the Deep Six G, not only is it stronger and has less flex than the standard G knock, which we were using, which were better than all the other knocks out there for G. Deep Six G is just, it takes away all the extra flex, which is going to lead to inconsistency in larger groups. But it tightens up your group, you know, it's just a more accurate setup and stronger. So
how, what are you seeing? What are you seeing tune wise? So like a guy that just wants to shoot the standard knock every day for his practice arrows, but then he wants to throw the fire knocks on for hunting. What type of tuning issues or flight issues or what could that create? And does it even create it?
The arrow hit a little lower if your bow's tuned good. That's it.
So if your bow is tuned, so you'll get a little bit lower of an impact, then that's pretty much
it. Yeah, 17 grains heavier. So yeah, downrange is gonna hit slightly lower.
But you're not gonna notice any difference in your actual, so to speak, paper tune coming out of the bow or anything like that.
Shouldn't, no. If anything, if you're on, like, it should even increase your if you're slightly weak. You know, if you're on the cusp, it'd be a little bit weak. It would actually dynamically stiffen your arrow, being a heavy weight. Technically, but I haven't really seen any evidence of that.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, there's a lot of nuances to tuning when you're messing with your arrow, and you can really do a lot of different neat things to aid your bow. And it's more useful for guys shooting stick bows than compounds, because compound, you have more flexibility in your tuning with the rest and different things. But yeah, there, like there's a lot like it. And, but I mean, the cool thing I found is I don't have to piss with any of that stuff. No, I really don't.
We try to keep it simple. And one of the most important things I tell guys all the time, it's one of the things guys don't want to do, but you need to paper tune your bow. With your compound bow, that's the most important thing. Even with the test kits, I tell guys, I said, get the bullet hole going with like the heaviest setup you want to run. You may run, right? Take the lightest spine with the heaviest head. Try to paper tune it. If you can't get it to paper tune, then go up to the stiffer spine or lighter head until you can get whatever one you can get to tune that's in your overall grain weight. You know, and all the grain weights are, when you get the test kit, they're written on the shaft. What the shaft weight, the arrow weight is, and the length of the arrow is written on the shaft when you get it, so that you don't have any question. And all the head weights, all the grains are engraved into the, each head. So
now, what are your field points made out of?
They're made out of stainless 416 stainless and heat treated, just like a rifle barrel. So
and now the short jags, the steel you're using, which is good steel,
carbon steel, though.
So you're putting jag wax on to avoid the rust, because they are Cerakoted, and that part's not going to rust.
The body of them, yeah, there's clear Cerakote on the bodies, but the blades where they're sharpened, the bevel, you have to keep the jag wax on them, or any kind of, you know, like you'd keep a good knife. I mean, you got to keep it coated with something.
Yeah, and actually the jag wax aids in penetration as well, I would assume.
It's funny because everything we have, like, works for a common goal. I mean, it's all about...
Yeah, it works in concert. The entire system works in concert with the system to make it more deadly and effective.
Yeah, the jag wax gives you protection and penetration. It's pretty sweet.
You're definitely not missing, like, you definitely didn't just throw a shit knock or shit veins on there and like, oh, I got a great head, but the back end's all effed up. No, the whole system, it works. I mean, it's taken a lot of like frustration, because I went back to that damn FMJ with 100 grain head, and I went to the extreme. I was shooting some Rage broadheads, and oh boy, did that go bad quick. And because I just got tired of pissing with everything. I got tired of having to tune and retune, and then
that's why guys are using the expandables and leaving themselves open for failure or problem. Is because of bow tune, arrow tune. You get it pretty close, and I can do it here. We did it here, especially with like a Matthews bow. I remember a guy last year came. He had the Halon 6, I think. Anyway, we're shooting. He shoot 300 spine arrows, 70-pound bow, 28-inch draw, and we could put up to a 350-grain field tip on that 300, and that bow was just shooting darts with the target tips. I was like, no, but you know, Matthews has a fantastic knock travel, you know, very linear.
Yeah.
I think you're aware of that. But as soon as we went to fixed blade, we had to drop all the way back to 200. And, you know, and I'm standing behind him, the arrows are flying perfect, just darts. But we had to drop it all the way back to a 200 grain head for that spine, because, you know, there's some flex coming out of the bow.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but to get him to shoot good, but his bow was tuned really well. So
it's incredible what you can do. And I know I switched bows when I came to your setup, and I went to that new breed, and it shoots them really well. And my brother's actually monkeying right now. He wants to go away from the cookie cutter setup with his Bowtech, and it just really doesn't support it as well as my new breed does, and or like a Matthews does. And I think it has to have something to do with Cam and the cams.
It's all about and Cam and the way they're designed. I mean, some of the bows like the high FOC arrows better. It all stems from knock travel. So, yeah. And the way the bow is built and designed. And the new breed, we've got a couple of them here. They shoot really good. You know, they don't have all this fancy bells and whistles stuff on them. You know, a lot of the bows these days are designed to shoot a light arrow as fast as possible. And they don't care how they do it. They want feet per second. So, but in doing that, it's kind of similar to our arrows. But doing that, you're going to lose some stability and forgiveness. And so even like when a guy has an older, he goes, well, I don't know. I just have this older bow. And I'm like, perfect. You got an older bow. I got a guy with like a 4 or 5 year old. It's an old Elite, 35 something or other. He can shoot, it's 70 pounds at 28 or 29. He shoots, and everyone, I thought he was lying, but it was like a 600 grain, you know, one of our arrows, like a full Valkyrie setup with high FOC at like 600 grains. And he said it was shooting 270 feet a second. I'm like, that's BS. Can't do it. And he's like, yeah. He goes, we tested it several times. And I'm like, that's impossible. So he brought it over. We shot it. And shot it at my house. And I have a target. Anyway, outside my door is raining. So he couldn't get the chrono out. But I'm like, well, from my door to the target, 70 yards. So he puts a 70-yard pin on it. I'm like, because I've seen it. I see enough arrows flying that I know what feet per second kind of looks like. Yeah, down, you know, far with the arc.
Downrange, yeah.
Of our setups. He shoots it. The arrow doesn't even drop at 70. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He's like, no, I'm telling you. And I told him, I said, it is an older bow. And I said, don't ever sell that bow. Because it was just a freak of nature. But the older bows seem to like, you know, they're not all jacked up for the super speed, you know?
Yeah, and then they're not, adjustable.
Yeah, it could throw a heavy arrow really good. So just because you have an older bow doesn't mean these high, you know, these modern cutting edge arrows aren't going to work for you. They actually will work better for you than some of the modern guys. Because even some of the new Hoyts that came out, they shoot heavy arrows great, like the RX-1. The RX-3 has been pretty good so far. But it likes a heavy arrow, but it also would rather have your FOC stick around 20% and not go up much higher than that.
Yeah.
Just my, you know, from customers and what tuning issues we've had.
Well, the ETX, it shoots them incredibly well. And yeah. I wasn't sure exactly. I got that Tyrant to hunt turkey with, and that's what we've been playing with this what I'm calling the turkey bomb. But I wasn't sure how it was going to handle these heavy FOC arrows, and I'm shooting a 300 spine arrow at 54 pounds out of a 30-inch axle-to-axle bow, and it's got, with the whole setup, it's got the 180-grain head on it, the 75-grain stumper-thumper backwards, and a 22-grain collar, and it is shooting laser beams. I mean, when we're going to play with it further at further yards, that's at 20 yards, but damn, is it, it's just, it's right there, and it is shooting bullet holes through paper. It's shooting laser beams to 20, and then I was shooting a short jag with that stumper thumper backwards, and I had put it on the IG story, and I sent you some videos. It's crushing targets. I went through a block and a Mackenzie Delta broadhead target into a block wall, and just was just devastating. It just thumping the hell out of the target.
Yeah, that's one of the things that guys got to know. If you're going to run our system, a lot of the normal targets you buy at Walmart or, you know, in the big box stores don't stop our arrows.
No, layered targets don't even try them.
Even with the trad bow, you're going to get full penetration on a layered target.
Yeah, so, and then I was shooting the, out of my ETX, which is 71 pounds at 29 inches with that 300 spine arrow and 180 grain short jag. The fletchings weren't going through it. I did have one, but the 18-1 Reinhardt wasn't stopping my arrows. I actually switched. I picked up a Matrix target from Kevin, and that target's bomber. It stops the arrows. And even in the seams, it was stopping them. And it's such a clean target that I was shooting a dozen times, and I wasn't the heads were coming out, and they're still razor sharp.
Yeah, you should still be able to, on clean foam, you should be able to. You shouldn't really need to mess with your head unless you shoot a few dozen shots in there.
No, so. I didn't. I mean, I'm neurotic, like I said, and I would clean them up, but really there was no difference. It's nice because then you can shoot your hunting arrows, and practice with your hunting, your hunting arrows, your hunting setup, and everything as you're going hunting. And even if you have to sharpen them, and you can talk a little bit more in depth, but it's a simple process. Like to sharpen a head is like under 5 minutes.
Oh, that's kind of a long time. If you're just going to, that's the beauty of our system with the shooting the full Valkyrie system with the Jaggers. You can, as long as you don't miss the target, hit dirt or rocks. but if you shoot clean foam, you can pretty much go in, shoot. You can have a whole shooting session with your arrows you're actually going hunting with, full quiver of them. And as long as you don't try to shoot the same spot twice, don't do that. And the Matrix is good for that because it has like 7 dots on it or something.
But, yeah, it does.
You can shoot those dots with your actual arrows. Like I do it all the time with my number one, like when I'm tree standing, whatever, I shoot my number one arrow, the arrow I'm going to use hunting with the broad and everything on a daily basis. After a dozen shots or so, if it's not shaving hair, I'll go in on our sharpening kit. We sell a wheel kit that you can mount on a bench grinder. Yeah. 10 seconds. It's back to hair popping.
Yeah, literally. And you're right. When I say 5 minutes, I'm a noob.
Our broadheads are hair popping when you get them. They're not just, like so-called sharp. It used to frustrate the heck out of me. When you buy heads, they're like, be careful. They're sharp, and they're not sharp. I mean, you still have to spend an hour on them with a hone and stuff. But ours and the wheels, I'm just terrible at sharpening. Most guys are afraid of sharpening. But I made it as simple as humanly possible to sharpen your edges. And it's super easy, super simple, and you can have an ultra sharp rod. And that's one of the things I wanted to make sure to make guys aware of, that we found the smooth, sharp edge that we put on our heads increases penetration and bone splitting ability exponentially.
They're
rough sharp that guys use. Like Fred Bear used to file his edges, and I mean, that's kind of sharp, and it works. But if you want to maximize your penetration and lethality, especially in heavy tissue like cartilage and bone and tendons and all that stuff, the smooth, sharp edge is super nasty. And you can see evidence of it in all the guys this year or this past season that hurt themselves with our broad edge.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I mean, they're just, you have to be super careful with them because they're super sharp. And I'll go back to one more thing on that, on our tips, the points of our Jagger broadhead on the full size broadhead, the hide breaching and the nastiness of that point. You have to be super careful of it because it can go in you super easy. It only takes about a pound and a half to penetrate through hide. So it's been, and evidence is there because guys are in, even for seasoned veteran hunters were stabbing themselves this year with our broadhead. So it's kind of,
what was there, like 3 of them?
Oh, I know of a couple more that got stabbed in the hand with them and it went almost through it. So I've had guys just loading their quivers, drop one out of their hand and drop point down and drop through their boot and stab them in the foot on just dropping them. So you got it. It happened to me when I was sharpening a few years ago. I dropped one when I was sharpening it for some reason. I was going to spin anyway. It fell out of my hand, went straight down, went through my shoe, stuck me in the foot. And I was like, oh, dang it. And I pulled it out. And then pretty soon my foot was all squishy inside my shoe and it was full. I was bleeding all over the place. So I'm just dropping it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I managed to cut myself twice this year with it. Screwing one in and then screwing one out.
You gotta be super careful.
Yeah, they're crazy sharp. They're like you said, they're nasty looking, and you can tell they're sharp. And I mean, I was being super careful.
Well,
you have to
be careful. A lot of guys in the beginning, this one of the things I try to tell guys is, if you can handle them because they have a 60-degree bevel, the bevel's very it's obtuse. It's not so sleek and sharp like a razor blade. It's not a thin bevel. It's thicker.
Yeah.
So, guys, you can handle them and they don't feel sharp. Like the first, when I was sending some prototypes to a good friend of mine, he's like, well, they're not real sharp. I had to resharpen them. I'm like, dude, you just dulled it up, because he didn't have the sharpening room. I'm like, there's nothing you can do to sharpen that head any sharper than it is with the stuff he had. And but he just was used to feeling like the two blade sharpness, where you have a super thin bevel and it's like a razor blade, more like a flame.
Yeah, exactly. Blade.
And these are more like they're more like a chisel tip, a chisel. You know, they're thicker bevel, but they have a razor sharp edge, so they don't feel very sharp until you run them lengthwise, and then it just goes. I mean, just it's like that scalpel.
Literally makes me just cringe. Yes, thinking about running one of them across your finger.
When I first tested that on the elk scapulas with a lightweight bow and a super light arrow, it was going through that bone, the scapula on that elk, like shooting through paper. Like the bone wouldn't, I was hanging the bone in the air in front of the target, and the bone wouldn't even, the scapula wouldn't even move. The arrow would just blow through it, and the bone would like barely not even move. Like it didn't even have any resistance at all. And even when I shot the thick part towards the bottom where it goes over the knuckle, I blew like a 2-inch chunk off of that. And it was weird because it didn't really move, and then the piece just fell off. It's like, holy smokes. But that was smooth sharp. You know, with the dull, I tested out, and then I started dulling the broadhead. I've done it a couple times where it's just kind of sharp. And with the lightweight arrow on broadhead, it won't go through a scapula, even the flat part. But I'm talking with a super light, you know, like a 40-pound longbow with like a 400-grain arrow.
Yeah, because that's what you shoot, right? You shoot a 40-pound longbow, don't you?
I have been shooting a 40-pound longbow to test the limits of our stuff with like a 488-grain arrow. You know, 28-29% FOC. I've blown through everything I've shot, including elk, bear, not just little elk, like, you know, 5-point Roosevelt, a huge, like, 300-pound bear, and like large black-tailed deer, mature black-tailed. The only one I didn't totally blow through was one I videoed two years ago, and I was going to post, and the arrow buried to the knock, and with the lighted knock and everything, I'm like, what the heck? But, you know, I can't, guys won't take my stuff. And this is with a 40-pound longbow. But I hit the tree on the other side after I reviewed the footage. He was standing next to a tree, and I hit the tree on the other side, stopped the arrow. And so that's the only one I haven't had a total blow through on. With a 40-pound longbow, and I'm not we're not just getting through guts and stuff. You know, we're shooting through. These are pocket shots through ribs, shattering ribs, shattered the ribs on the bull, going in, nicked them going out, and my friend found the arrow like 20 feet in the brush on the other side of him. So, and believe me, I was nervous on that shot because wasn't sure that little. It's almost like a kid's bow. Didn't think it was going to go through, and it did. So it's impressive. But I did have a super sharp broadhead, and I tested that against plywood, three quarter inch plywood, with our broadhead. So with the super sharp broadhead, and I was using a 70-pound Matthews Monster, and like a 200-grain head, blows through 3/4 inch plywood. Then I didn't sharpen the broadhead. I just kept it. Next shot went to the fins, buried to the tip of the fins on our broadhead. You know, they flare out.
Yeah.
Next shot went halfway up the fin. As the broadhead was getting duller, the penetration was decreasing. So then it went there. Then, you know, finally went about halfway up the fin. Then it kind of stayed there. So
which makes sense.
Yeah, well, it got duller. So then I go back in. I buff it out on the wheels in like 30 seconds. Come back out. Blows through the plywood. So
yeah, there's something to be said about that polished,
smooth, sharp mirror finish, scalpel sharp edge is super nasty, and that's how you maximize. I mean, even the dull sharp, we sell the hand sharpening stuff for if you're in the backcountry, and, you know, you dump your quiver at something and something's off, like your rest doesn't, you know, if something happens, you need to resharpen in the field, you can put a serviceable edge back on it with our flip stick and our V-sharpener. But and it'll kill. I mean, guys have killed tons of stuff with pretty sharp broadheads. But if you want to maximize it, then you just keep them so that smooth, sharp, and the performance is unbelievable with a smooth throw.
It's ridiculous. Yep. Well, that buck I shot, now I pocket shot at him. I mean, it was quarter and two, and it's like through the rear of the shoulder back through the ribs, and then it buried the shaft, buried 10 inches into the mud. Because it was, you know, I was shooting him out of a tree stand, and like, and I was talking about it on the sister podcast, This Is Hot Boga, about it. Actually, no, it was on the first Bros and Arrows episode we did, and that it hit that deer, and it was just like thunk, thunk, and it was just that deer. He tucked his chin and he shivered, but he and I had stopped him. But then he just started walking at the same gait. Like, it was almost like, yeah, something just happened, but I don't even know what the hell just happened. Because that arrow was just through him like butter. And he didn't run. He was on a mission. Like, he was on a gait that he was going somewhere. I grunted him and stopped him, shot him right through him. He tucked his chin, he shivered, and then he picked back up that same gait, went maybe 30 yards and just stopped and died. Yeah. Like he knew something had happened, but he didn't know what happened. It was just through him. I mean, it was just lethal. And his lungs, like, you know how you shoot a deer with a broadhead and you get the cut through the lungs. I mean, it almost like pulverized that first lobe that it hit. It was just the energy that went into that deer was incredible coming out of that arrow. It was wicked. I mean, I was already a believer, but it's really, really awesome to see what it does firsthand in the game. And like you said, you built this broadhead to kill game. You didn't build it to shoot the X's out of targets, though it will.
We wanted extreme accuracy, but we also wanted a system that would perform under pretty much worst case scenario. You know, because it always seemed like it's always bad. I mean, something's always happening. You're either soaking wet, you're frozen, the wind's blowing, there's a little bit of twig in the way or branches. Yeah, there's always something, or they wheel on you, you know, you shoot them and they try to spin out and you hit them in the shoulder. And I don't know why, but I've had a couple elk turn into the arrow and block it with their shoulder. But anymore, when that they do that, it doesn't work for them.
Yeah, Murphy's Law.
So that's what we build for that. And can tell you that our system is spendy to get in the door, but unless you lose your arrows or break them by shooting the same spot, they last a long time. Your broadhead should last you many, many dozens of arrows.
Yeah, so, and you're saving money in the long run.
I believe you save money. I mean, I could shoot as much new stuff as, you know, I have tons of it, but I've been shooting the same arrows for 2 years, and I shoot almost every day. You know,
that's saving money, because a lot of guys, you can't get that out of box store components.
No. But I do have one that's stuck in my McKenzie elk target, though. It's stuck in the pipe. There's a pipe that they run to run that, the front leg. It goes clear up into where the heart is. And if you penetrate deep enough, I have a jagger stuck in there right now. I'm still stuck in there. Couldn't get it out. But hopefully we'll get it. I need somebody to come. But anyway,
You do get, and it's kind of like as everything works in concert on the arrow together to give you this ultimate delivery system, with the ultimate arrow, you're getting the extreme accuracy, you're giving the very forgiving platform, you're getting this high efficiency or high lethality on game. Yeah. Everything, once again, it's all these parts that make a whole that make this the most, it makes it the best of all worlds. So you're getting the accuracy, you're getting the lethality. Yeah. It's a perfect system. I mean, in my opinion,
everything we build into the system was built to maximize accuracy and lethality in the largest, the most conceivable situations you can run into in hunting.
The
most accuracy and the most lethality and the most conditions is what we built. So,
what's the most extreme you've heard from a customer or that you've done personally as far as like maybe penetration or accuracy or like what on game?
I mean, with the compound bow, it's pretty much, I mean, guys are shooting through elk frontal quarter torts, running them lengthwise. The arrow, if they stop at all or get stopped in like the rear pelvic bone or the rear femur, but usually they blow through them, come out the ham or whatever, or in through the ham, out through the shoulder, things like that on elk. But the most amazing thing so far, I think, has been Aaron Snyder shot a doe a few weeks ago with a short jag and a recurve, and a doe wheeled, hit her in the right near the in the butt, right in the ham,
yeah,
and went out her chest.
Damn.
I shouldn't laugh, but that was with the short jag, which is,
damn,
you know, penetration. I built that short jags for compound guys because that, you know, you're kind of running the risk of getting stopped on heavy bone because of this steeper angle of the front part of the broadhead.
Yeah.
But I mean, for all intents and purposes, it'll blow, shatter femurs and all that kind of stuff. But that penetration on the doe with the trad bow was pretty dang phenomenal. I mean, that was pretty amazing. But we're getting stuff like that all the time. I mean, years ago with the prototype, the Green Meanie, I told a guy, he's down in California, runs a lot of pig hunts and stuff. He wanted to try him. I'm like, yeah. I said, you pretty much, with his setup, he's running like a 70-pound bow, and he had about a 550-grain arrow. He ran a 200-grain, it was called a Green Meanie, but it's pretty much our 200-grain Blood Eagle now.
Yeah.
And he had a boar charge him, and he shot him right through the head, about a 250-pound boar. It went through his head, in through the front of the skull, out the back of the skull, and 9 inches down the neck, and came out by the shoulder. And he's like, and he showed me, well, and it was sticking out of the shoulder. It was, you know, buried. Only had about 12 inches of arrow sticking out of his forehead. And he's like, you know, hit him here. And I'm like, well, and he dropped him in his tracks. And he's just couldn't believe it. He's pretty impressed with it. And that's probably, that's a pretty good penetration deal.
They don't got thin skulls.
No, well, I think they do right between the eyes, but then the back of the skull is pretty thick. And for it to go clear down and out 9 inches of neck meat, and then out the hide, it's pretty, out the shoulder, it's pretty, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, so. that is pretty impressive. And that, what was that? We were talking to one day, we were talking about mechanicals and, the classic, like that pop when a mechanical hits and guys are, oh, that's, you know, that's all that's hitting them with all that kinetic. It's just a hide popping.
The WAP is energy you're losing on impact.
Yeah, you're losing. So, yeah, it's not going to anything.
Make almost no sound when they go through. If you hear it, like you hear it all the time. I used to hear it just shooting like the standard, like the short, steep angle, like a G5, like a Montech.
Mm-hmm.
You hear them and they go, whop. That WAP is that broadhead pressing on the hide, losing all its energy, pressing in, stretching that hide until the hide pops.
Yep. Yeah, guys are like, oh, I hit that. That guy, the guy you hear guys all the time, and some guys I know, man, I hit him like a freight train. I was like, actually, you dumped all your energy before you even got into him.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And that's why you got like 6 inches of penetration.
Yeah, and I always cringe when I see you guys shooting does, and they're getting like their pin cushion in the doe, and I'm like, you know, doe whitetail, and I'm like, I haven't pin cushioned anything with a trad bow for years. So
yeah,
it just leaves you open for something. You if you're doing that, you know,
something's
you are
right.
Wide open for something bad to happen.
And well, that's just
going to happen on the buck of a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what guys don't get. They're like, well, I've shot 20 deer with a rage and, yeah, you know, massive blood trails and shit. And like you said, they're pin cushioning deer. And then all of a sudden that day comes and it's normally on the buck of a lifetime because you're hyped up. Your form goes to shit. you still manage to pull off the shot, but your form's shitty, and then the arrow doesn't hit right, or there's a little, or you rush the shot, and then boom, next thing you know, you're chasing the buck of your lifetime over like three counties over, and you lose them.
Yeah, well, that can happen also with the short, steep angle, low FOC arrows. You know, I saw, what's that guy's, his TV show, Pat something. Pat Nicole, I forget what his name is. Pat Reeves.
I don't watch TV. I don't watch those shows.
Well, he shot a giant, huge whitetail buck years ago on TV, on film, and lost it. Perfect pocket shot. And I don't know what brought it. I know he's using just a standard store-bought stuff, you know. And in rifle season, the neighbor shot it during rifle, and it showed that his arrow had hit him. He hit him in a perfect pocket shot broadside. Short, steep angle broadhead, low FOC, you know, probably doing 300 feet a second. Arrow hits the rib, glances 90 degrees, doesn't go in the chest cavity, goes along the ribs, and the arrow snaps off or whatever, and the deer ran off. So he got an owie, and this is like a 200-inch mule deer, or whitetail. That'd be a perfect shot, perfect setup. And the rifle hunter got him later, and they saw the chunk of arrow sitting in him laying along his ribs. And that is something that can happen, like we were talking about. It usually doesn't happen on does or small bucks, only on the big ones. You know, it's like, tell guys, you can either switch over now, which I'm trying to save you the heartbreak of all that. I mean, that's what I want to do, because I've been there. It's terrible. I don't ever want that to happen to me again. I don't want, you know, you have an option now where you can actually get products in the arrow system where you have the absolute best chance possible for success if you make a decent shot.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, those light setups work every time until they don't work. They don't work. With this system, it's going to work. What's going to happen is the only thing that's going to screw up is when you miss. And then you can have it doesn't matter what you got.
That's what we build. So we take it serious, and you know, we build stuff for guys that, especially the guys that have, you know, especially if you're after a trophy buck, once in a lifetime type buck, or a big hunt, or you spend a lot of money to go on a guided hunt, you want your gear to work. And that's
absolutely,
that's what our stuff's for. I take it bow hunting super serious. I think about it every day, all year. And it's what I do. And anyway, we came up with this and decided to make a company that would help archers out and give them an opportunity to give them some. There's quite a few good companies out there right now, but we wanted to give them an opportunity to have the option to buy the best possible arrow setup. Because in reality, the most important thing you take on a hunt for your success on a game animal is your broadhead. Backed up by the broadhead delivery system. If there's a chink in that armor, then all the other stuff doesn't matter. All the training you did, all the research, all that comes down to your arrow killing that animal at the moment of truth and not failing on you. And that's where we come in. You can take care of that. That's one thing you can control. You know, after you shoot your arrow, after you release, you hit that release and that arrow is gone out of your bow, there's nothing you can do after that point. And you don't know what, and you can't anticipate what's going to happen as soon as you release, but you can control the design and build of your arrow to maximize your chance of success with Valkyrie archery systems. And, you know, because it's random. When you release the arrow, dude, it's over. That's all your stuff is gone. Now all you have is that arrow, that broadhead and that arrow. To make all your dreams come true. It sounds kind of dramatic, but I mean, it's true.
It is. You're absolutely right.
Because I've been there many times where you're super excited. You know, I'm not talking even on just a bull here in Oregon on public land on the coast where you're like, oh my God, it finally happened. Here we go. Boom. Shoot the arrow. And bull wheels crack. And it's devastating. All of a sudden you went from like something you'll never forget in a positive way to something you'll never forget in a negative way.
Yeah. Something
from the highest to highest to lowest in an instant because of
crappy shit. Haunt you forever. It'll haunt you forever. Like literally that will stick with you, like, in a positive way. Obviously, it'll stick with you forever and it'll be positive, but in the negative way, it will haunt you. And yeah, like, you will question everything you did up until that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on it. I'm with you on it. That's why I'm shooting it. I'm done. I'm not going to. And I mean, it was only a doe, but I've, you know, looking back through my hunting career and my hunts, I have lost a buck. I've actually lost two bucks that weren't horrible shots. They were actually good shot angles. And the unforeseen, like one world, the other one, I was in a tree stand and I was a little bit off balance and I botched a shot and put it in where it didn't need to go. I mean, it would have been lethal, but it didn't do what it was supposed to because I had screwed up. And I'm done with that. I'm still going to do my part and do my job, but now I also know that my arrow is going to do its job far exceeding what I should expect from it. And it's going to deliver. Yeah. It's going to work. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it is cool. It's great. And then on big game animals and, you're just improving your chance of success. You're eliminating one area that could get screwed
up.
This
is something you have control over and you could, you know, improve it, you know, because once you let go, you have no control over what's going to happen after you release that arrow towards the animal. But before that, you can control and build the most efficient, effective arrow projectile you can. I mean, that's available. You can do it. If you don't get them after that, then you know at least you did everything you possibly could.
The old adage, but my pap used to tell me, once you pull that trigger, you can't call back the bullet, you can't call back the arrow. You make damn sure you did everything to put it where it needs to be.
Yeah, and that should be part of your training anyway. I mean, part of your training and preparation should be getting you the most efficient, effective projectile. It's like even a bullet with your guns for a long range rifle for hunting. You should have the most, you know, the best bullet you can possibly shoot. You know, you just don't want to, you know, and there's a handful of them out there, but you know, you're just leaving yourself open for failure unless you do that, complete the circle there. So, and I think that's what we built. It's available. So, and it's not that much money in the long run. I mean, if you think about it, guys are like, God, your broadheads are so expensive. Well, right now the gas is cheaper, but I used to fill my truck up for like $120 so for diesel, and that's just a pack of broadheads. So it's just a tank of fuel. So anymore in this day and age, and they last a long time unless you lose them. So we have value in addition to everything else. So
you do, and like you said, and guys are going to hesitate and they look at the price tag. And I was just talking to a guy here recently. He's like, it's expensive. And I'm like, it is up front, but in the long run, it saves you money. It ends up, like I said, it saves you money, but also
the better value.
And you got to put a value on your time, your frustration, and it eliminates a lot of the time consumed and the frustration.
So, Joe, when I used to go, just on the broadhead side, when I used to hunt quite a bit, I would go through back years ago, I was using the Montec, the G5 Montecs, you know, with the full metal jacket. And I would go through 4 to 6 packs of those a year.
Oh, damn.
At 40 bucks, 40, what are they, 40 bucks a pack. So you're looking at 4 to 6 packs. Well, because every time you shoot one at an animal, it's done. That's done.
Yeah, exactly. Something
always happens. Even if you don't hit rocks. You hit a bone, the tip chips off or something. You can't use. You can use it for practice. You can't use it for hunting anymore. I mean, so I was like, well, I mean, that's spending a couple $100 a year on pretty much disposable broadheads.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately like a lot of the broadheads are. They're disposable broadheads.
One
you shoot them once.
Yeah.
You can't practice with them. No, you can't.
I mean, you know, then I was just saying with the Montex, because I thought, and I shot a lot of deer with those, and I thought they were the cat's meow, but then, you know, but I was running that low FOC, you know, the standard setup. That's why I tell guys all the time, I pretty much have probably already run what you're shooting, because, you know, I'm always searching.
You've tried everything.
I mean, I've done the full metal jacket, the heavy shaft, I've done the light shaft, with the light head, the heavy shaft. I mean, I've done all that. And I had a very bad experience with the light, low FOC, short, steep angle broadhead on the buck of a lifetime. It's no joke. It was a 5x5 blacktail with triple eye guards. I have a picture of the buck. At 5 yards, right down below my tree. And I hit a perfect heart shot. I kept it together, made the perfect shot. And that arrow glanced off his ribs. It went in between his ribs and his shoulder. Passed through, stuck in the ground, thought I killed him. But I didn't know that it glanced off the ribs yet. I thought I'd heart shot him. So I go in and wait a half an hour. I'm like super excited. I can't believe it. He's just, I mean, just a buck of a lifetime. I go out there, follow the blood. He jumps up and runs off half hour later. I'm like, what the heck? So I give him a couple hours, go get back on where I just jumped in before, go out about 50 yards over there, I jump him again. Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Next day I go back with the dog. Well, I can't find blood anymore. So I go back with the dog and no bow because you can't have a weapon with a dog tracking here in Oregon. Anyway, Nobo find the blood. As soon as he was going uphill, there's no blood. He tips downhill. All of a sudden, we got blood again. I'm thankful. Lose the trail from there. I looked for that deer for a month. The deer didn't die. Didn't go in his body cavity. It looked like a pass through. It went in, glanced off the ribs. Last time I ever used a short, steep angle broadhead ever. And that was one of those things where I'd already killed a bunch of deer on broadside shots.
Yeah.
And quartering, you know, like moderately quartering away, but not too steep. And they all went in. It looked like, I mean, they were just, I mean, just putting the wood to the, I mean, just killing them. And I didn't even think of it because I'm like, these are the greatest, whatever. Until it glanced at a little steeper angle on a slam dunk on a buck of a lifetime. I just can't ever have that possibility anymore. And that's what I tell guys all the time. Even if it hasn't happened to you, just know that it could. And there's a way exactly. You could not have that ever happen to you again. So
yeah, you're right. And you see, and if you go into your bow shop, you'll see like those packs of broadheads. It's like the kind of like a new trend now because they're easier to tune.
Yeah. Well, no surface that's all area. Even some of the little short steepies, they're so small that I don't even, you're just leaving. I mean, you save money and it's ease of use, but you're just leaving yourself open for failure. And that's what, if guys want to do that, that's fine. But if you don't, if you want to, you know, complete and do everything you possibly can to maximize your effectiveness in the field, we make the system for that. So there's no stone unturned. If it doesn't work with this arrow, then it just won't work with anything.
Yeah, no, so. I'm with you. Well, it's we've covered a lot, and I think we've done justice to your system because, I mean, I've listened to some other podcasts and I've listened to some other, and I've talked to you at length. I think we've definitely hit all the high points.
Yeah.
Really haven't found any low points. Let's finish up about this, like this turkey bomb and like what your thoughts are on it. And as we know, like big game animals are tough. And we've talked about the missed opportunities. We've talked about the shit that's went wrong, but like, let's just talk about this little feeble turkey that a lot of like even Western guys are like, you hunt turkeys? Like, what
hey,
are you?
Oh,
you like
turkeys. You... I've had,
they're
I've
tough
had
little bastards.
Off turkeys.
Yeah. They're tough.
Well, I got a buddy out in California that, I mean, he gets his turkey. I mean, he's a turkey killing machine. And when we first made, he's a trad guy, but he kills, I mean, he did with turkeys, you know, he calls them in and does, I mean, he gets them. He shoots a lot of turkeys. He's been doing it for years. Never had a pass through on a turkey with a trad bow. Until when I gave him the Green Meanie, first turkey shot with the Green Meanie, it's a Jagger prototype.
Yep.
Arrow blew right through it. He's like, that is the first pass through he's ever had in his whole life. And he's shot probably 100 turkeys. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And so that was cool. But with the compound, we want to maybe slow that down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's so. I hear it every year. And I mean, friends of mine, people I know, people I talk to, they're shooting them. And they're hitting them, and then the turkeys are getting away. What we're looking to do here with this, and with this thing, this little impromptu design you came up to, I mean, I think we're going to just dump a pile of energy into them, more or less knock them off their feet, and I'm hoping...
Yeah, you're doing the cutting and all the penetration, them. But you need to have... it's more like a slug hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the shock stump them pretty good for a little bit. At least you can get out and grab them.
Yeah, and you're not going to be, like, blowing them up or anything. But I think, in essence, it's going to anchor them where they're at. I don't know. I can't wait
it
to shoot one.
It depends on... It's like anything. It's same thing with our arrows for the elk and stuff. It still depends. Anything can happen. You know, it's not a slam dunk because it depends on where you hit them. But if you maximize your chances of success, is all we can do.
Yeah, exactly. You guys
can't guarantee it, but we can maximize your chances. And I think that with that stumper thumper grabber and the broadhead, I think that will give you, you know, you're going to get your standard cutting and penetration, but with a big... Again, with a wrecking ball behind it to impart shock so that you can pretty much just shut it down immediately. That's the theory. We got to check it out and see if it works.
We'll find out, right? We'll find out here in a few months.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it.
I am too, especially after shooting it the other day through them targets. Like it was just, and it was like blowing debris out the back. I'm like, oh, this could work. And I'm searching for that. Cause I'm huge. I love turkey hunting and that's no secret. I talk about it all the time and I'm looking for that ultimate delivery, you know, that ultimate arrow to increase the lethality of shooting them with the bow, because I just started shooting them with the bow. I've been shooting them in the face with a shotgun for years, and if I haven't shot 100 of them with a shotgun, I'm getting close now. And there's some, I love calling a gobbler in, he's gobbling his ass off, comes up to you and you shoot him in the face with a shotgun. There's something about that. But then I shot my first one with the bow last year, and there's really something about that. And I can't wait to do it again. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, we're definitely going to play with it, I think, a little bit more leading up to the season. And then there'll be the grand finale coming. But let's wrap this up. And we'll definitely be on again with you. You got any closing thoughts or anything you want to say before we hit stop?
No, if guys want to know more about the Valkyrie Archery, they can go to valkyriearchery.com. Or we're on Instagram, valkyrie.archery. And you can look at some of the stuff we shot there. We don't really have pro staff per se. And most of the guys we post on there are just customers that shot stuff with our stuff. But, I mean, and there's if anybody has questions, feel free. They can call in or email us at valkyriearcherysystems@gmail.com.
All right. And hopefully everybody got that. And then and once again, if anybody wants, I'm not as well versed as Brent, obviously, but if anybody has any questions, you can shoot them my way as well. And we're going to call it a day here. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you.
All right. All right.